Hello, everyone. Can everyone hear me okay? And we've got the agenda on the screen, so everybody can see that okay. It's now 12 noon, so welcome to this further compulsory acquisition hearing. I'm Guy Rigby, and I'm a member of the panel appointed to the project by the Secretary of State under Section 65 of the Planning Act 2008. We're the examining authority for the examination of this application by Orsted Hornsey Project 3 for an order granting development consent for the Hornsey 3 offshore wind farm. I'll now introduce the other members of the panel. On my left, Dr. Roger Catchpole. On far right, David Cliff. And to my immediate right, David Prentice, who is the lead member of this panel. Also with us today is KJ Johansson, over on the table on the right there. He's a member of the PINS case team for this application, so any inquiries or issues of a procedural nature should be directed to him. Brief housekeeping matters. We've not been told about any fire tests, so if the fire alarms go, it's for real. The exit's through there, and I think there's another one there. Toilets are out in the passage. Please, if you've got your phones on, turn them off or turn them to silent. And then there's a hearing loop if required. Just if I could quickly check, other than the applicant, who else is in attendance, please? If you could go to a microphone and state your name, please.
Hello, Jonathan Rush. I'm with the Land Information Group, and I act for the landowner of the booster station site, but I'm not intending to say anything.
So your name is?
Jonathan Rush.
Jonathan Rush.
Yeah.
And you're a member of the Land Interest Group?
Yes, and I specifically act for the landowner of the booster station site. But
thank you. Are you intending to speak?
No.
Thank you. Anybody else here who wishes to?
Ray Pearce, interested party, not speaking.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Have both of you attended previous hearings, or is you both have? In that case, I think we can skip quite a bit of the housekeeping and formalities, because you'll be familiar with that. Just a note that we won't be providing any written note of this hearing, but a recording of the hearings being made, so it will help if people speak clearly into the microphones when they are speaking and give their name on each occasion if you do decide to speak. At the moment, we've noted that you're not intending to speak. So if we get on to item two on the agenda, you'll see from the top there that we've accepted the proposal for additional land. So if we go to item two on the agenda, the purpose of this further compulsory acquisition hearing. This further hearing relates to compulsory acquisition and is being held as part of the examination of the application, which I mentioned earlier. The Hornsey 3 offshore wind farm is a nationally significant infrastructure project under sections 14 and 15 of the Planning Act. So therefore, we conduct this hearing in accordance with sections 92 and 94 of the Planning Act 2008, and also Rule 14 of the Infrastructure Planning Examination Procedure Rules 2010, as amended, which relate to the procedure at the hearing. And we've also accepted a proposal by the applicant to amend the application and to include additional land. So this hearing is also therefore held in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Infrastructure Planning Compulsory Acquisition Regulations 2010 as amended. So specifically Rule 14.2 of the Examination Procedure Rules requires us to set out at the beginning the matters to be considered at this hearing. And our purpose today is simply to consider the matters on the agenda that was published on the 15th of March and which is on the screen before you. The agenda reflects the purpose of this further compulsory acquisition hearing, which was stated in our notification letter dated the 11th of March, and which is firstly to enable any affected person and or interested party to make oral representations on the compulsory acquisition of the additional land, and secondly, to enable any persons with an interest in the additional land, that is to say additional affected persons, to make all representations on matters relating to the proposed compulsory acquisition of land and rights. Now, a note that there are no people here present wishing to do that, so we will move on to item three, where the applicant is to be asked to update us on the change. So to the applicant, firstly, if you can explain briefly the need for the additional land and how the statutory conditions for the exercise of compulsory powers in respect of the additional land have been met, bearing in mind, of course, that the same tests apply to the additional land as applied at the original hearing. And also, if you can explain briefly how the requirements of the Infrastructure Planning Compulsory Acquisition Regulations 2010 as amended have been met in respect of the additional land.
Claire Bodrick, for the applicant. So the application that was submitted in January related to two separate sections of the cable route, and just briefly describe them. The first change related to a minor realignment around land owned by the John Innes Centre. Through discussions with the landowner since the submission of the application, the applicant was informed that the proposed onshore cable corridor, as submitted with the application, could have the potential to have an impact on the integrity of the scientific studies being undertaken in a field to the northeast of that cable corridor. The applicant therefore revised the route in this area so as to avoid any impact on those scientific studies. As is set out in the change application, this included a reroute across land owned by the John Innes Centre to avoid the corner of the field where the studies were ongoing, but had a consequential amendment to plots to the north, which were owned by the Loam Estate Trust. We've set out in the application the increase in land take as a result of this additional land. It is, there are no additional affected persons as a result of this minor realignment, and we have obtained consent from both the John Innes Centre and the Loam Estate Trust, together with the occupiers, to this amendment. In terms of the statutory tests for compulsory acquisition, in accordance with section 122.2, the additional land that's been applied for is required for the development or required to facilitate the development, the rights being sought and no more than is necessary to deliver the project. We have considered reasonable alternatives, and it is actually through the consideration of alternatives that this minor realignment has come to light. We are in discussions with the landowners in relation to the voluntary agreements for these plots, and we can provide an update on that if that would be helpful. As we've set out in the statement of reasons, which was updated to accompany this non-material amendment application, there is a compelling case in the public interest, and the references are set out in paragraphs 7.6 and 7.8. in section 8 of the statement of reasons, and our position is that the compelling case in the public interest for the scheme of a whole relates to this additional land application in the same way that it applied to the application when it was submitted.
Thank you.
The second non-material amendment, including additional land change, related to a minor widening of the road access point for the proposed onshore HVAC booster station. Following discussions with Norfolk County Council, additional land was required to accommodate visibility for abnormal individual loads, and also to accommodate space for the transportation of transformers to the site. The non-material amendment application set out the small increase in land take required for both the visibility splay and the private access road to the onshore booster station. The applicant obtained the consent of the landowner and the occupiers affected by this additional land application. And the same reasoning applies as I set out for the other material amendment application, that this is required to facilitate, is required for the development and all required to facilitate the development, that we have considered reasonable alternatives, that we are seeking to acquire the land hereby and the rights over land by voluntary agreement, and that there is a compelling case in the public interest as set out in the statement of reasons.
Thank you. So that's the first part of the question. In respect of the Infrastructure Planning Compulsory Acquisition Regulations 2010, if you could just explain how those have been met.
Clare Project, for the applicant. In respect of the Compulsory Acquisition Regulations, we set out in the additional land application how the application itself complied with those regulations in terms of the documents that were being provided with it, and that's set out in section 4 of the application itself. We then submitted a certificate certifying compliance with regulations 7 and 8 of the compulsory acquisition regulations to confirm that the notification and publication requirements have been complied with. And therefore, the applicant believes it's complied with the requirements of the regulations.
Thank you. Item 4 would have allowed oral representations, but there's nobody here wishing to make oral representations. So if we move on to item 5, on the next steps, just a quick recap. Firstly, following on from what we've just heard, if the applicant could please update in respect of outstanding objections to the application. I note that Crown land consent has been given by the Forestry Commission on behalf of DEFRA in respect of the plot at 3031. Also, we're in receipt of your statement of commonality of statements of common ground at deadline 7 and also at deadline 8. So I wonder if you could just give us a brief update of the current position and also what you envisage the final position to be at deadline 10, please.
Clare Bodrick, for the applicant. In relation to section 135 consent, consent from the Crown Estate is due imminently. They have all the documentation, so we're expecting that to be issued very shortly, and we would definitely hope that that will be issued prior to the close of the examination. We are also awaiting section 135 consent on behalf of the Ministry of Defence. We have been struggling to get the right person within the Ministry of Defence to look at this issue, so it is, whilst we have been told that it is being looked at, it is entirely possible that they won't have provided that section 135 consent by the end of the examination, but we would very much hope that it would be provided to the Secretary of State during his determination
and period.
We're not aware of any issues as to why it won't be given, and they have said that they are aware of what it is and that they need to give it. We just haven't been able to get the right person.
No, I understand. So you'd at least be able to report that you've used best endeavours and
yes,
the final position is what it is.
Exactly. And our understanding is that in other DCO applications where the consent has been upstanding, that this is something that the Secretary of State requests an update on matters before he makes his determination. But we're not aware of any reason why they won't provide their consent before the Secretary of State makes a decision.
Thank you. And in respect of other statutory objections,
In respect of Claire Broderick for the applicant, in respect of statutory undertakers, in our statement of commonality, we provided an update, and you will have noted that we have reached agreement with National Grid Gas, Cadent Gas, and Eastern Power Networks, and their objections have been withdrawn. In respect of National Grid Electricity Transmission, the documents have all been signed, and they're just waiting for completion, which should happen if not today or tomorrow. It will definitely have happened before the end of the examination. Mm-hmm. We therefore expect the withdrawal of their objection to be with you prior to the close of the examination. In respect of Network Rail, unfortunately, we have not yet been able to reach agreement with them. And although discussions are ongoing, and the urgency of those discussions is noted both by both sides, it is highly possible that we won't have reached agreement by the close of the examination. And we set out at the last compulsory acquisition hearing and set out in detail in our written summary of the compulsory acquisition hearing the areas of dispute and the applicant's position on that. However, we're proposing to submit an updated statement of reasons for deadline 9 to provide an update on the status of negotiations with all landowners, but to also set out the applicant's position in relation to Network Rail and the necessary tests under section 127.
Thank you. And presumably, in any event, we would get a position statement at deadline 10.
The applicant. Yes, we're not entirely confident that we'll be able to have a agreed statement of common ground, but you should be in receipt of the applicant's position. Yes. And Network Rail will separately submit their
position. Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Yes. In any event, I know you're hoping for things at deadline 9, but
yes.
In any event, deadline 10, if we have your position on the issues.
Claire Broderick for the applicant. Yes, you'll have our position and our preferred protective provisions, and I would, whilst Network Rail have already submitted into examination, I can't remember which deadline, their preferred protective provisions, I would anticipate that they would submit a further written representation confirming what their preference is in terms of the drafting of the protective provisions. But the final DCO being submitted by the applicant will include the applicant's preferred drafting of the protective provisions.
Thank you. And just very briefly, it would assist if you could please give an update in respect of Moor Farm and Norwich Road issues. Your deadline 7 comments on deadline 6 submissions and your post-hearing submissions for the issue-specific hearing 9, you say that an amended book of reference is to be provided at deadline 9. Is that the position?
Claire Broderick for the applicant. Yes, that's correct. So today we're submitting revised land plans and a revised book of reference and a revised statement of reasons that will confirm which option has been removed and then which option remains as a result of the preferences being expressed by the landowners both at Moor Farm and Norwich Road. So the land plans and the compulsory acquisition rights that we are seeking are only over those routes that are the ones that the landowner has expressed a preference for.
So for Moor Farm, that's the western option, and also for Norwich Road, you're down to one option now for access. You no longer need both access options, is that right?
Claire Broderick for the applicant, yes, that's correct. We were able to gain access to the land in early March to complete surveys, so we are now able to confirm that the shorter route that the landowner has expressed a preference for without prejudice to his objection to the scheme generally, that is viable, and therefore that is the route that we are going to, that it will be included in the revised land plans and book of reference.
Right, thank you. So I also understand, as you mentioned earlier, that you have the consent of all the landowners and occupiers in respect of the additional land.
Claire Broderick for the applicant. So we obtain their consent to the application for additional land.
Yes.
But voluntary agreements have not yet been completed with those landowners. And Mr. Griss can provide an update on the status of those negotiations, if that would be helpful.
Yes, as part of the deadline 10 catch-all, if you like, submissions, or will you do that before then?
Claire Brodgett, for the applicant. Yes, updated statement of reasons that we're submitting today at deadline 9 will contain updated appendices A, B and C, which sets out the current status of negotiations with each of the landowners and also with the various statutory undertakers. So we will have updated that, so you will have the current status, and we don't believe there will be any change between sort of today and Monday.
I understand. And presumably the guide to the application will assist us in knowing which documents the final documents are in respect of all the compulsory acquisition application documents which have been updated, and also the additional documentation in terms of the request for additional land. So by the end of the examination, we'll have everything that we need.
Claire Brodgett, for the applicant. Yes, so we will endeavour to group together the compulsory acquisition related documents, but the final land plans will include the additional land that is being sought.
Thank you. So just a reminder that deadline 9 is today, deadline 10 is Monday the 1st of April, and the examination of this project closes on Tuesday the 2nd of April 2019. We then report to the Secretary of State. And just a reminder that anything submitted after the 2nd of April will not be seen by us, because that's the end of the examination. So thanks for your attendance, everyone, and your contributions throughout the examination. This hearing is now closed.